Medical breakthroughs and discoveries for deadly diseases often dominate the headlines. And when celebrities lend their name to fighting a disease, it's a publicity boon for charities and researchers trying to find a cure. But far away from the spotlight, work is far less glamorous for many doctors and researchers in developing countries. They are going door to door asking questions and compiling data, and building the foundation for many medical advancements. And as Catherine Drew reports, medical data researchers are celebrating their success.
The impact of AIDS mortality on population growth.
Doctors, researchers, and public healthcare experts from around the world convened in Washington, D.C. recently to review and discuss the latest technologies, trends, and methods of collecting medical data. But the conference was also something of a celebration. This year marks the 30th anniversary of the Demographic and Health Surveys, known in the business as the DHS. In 1972, America's Agency for International Development, the USAID, decided to invest considerable resources in collecting population and health data in developing countries. Today, survey teams still operate in any developing countries that ask for assistance, accumulating data on public health issues ranging from child mortality to general nutrition, and since the late 1980s, people's sexual habits in light of the AIDS pandemic. Dr. Duff Gillespie, who oversees the DHS for USAID, says the surveys have come a long way in 30 years.
I can remember going to endless meetings on whether or not you could ask someone what their contraceptive behavior was, whether or not they were using a contraceptive, anything to do with sexual behavior, it was a question. And also things like income. I mean, it was just a great debate on that. In hindsight, it seems rather naive on our part, but we didn't know.
Today, Dr. Gillespie admits such squeamishness is a thing of the past, especially as developing countries battle the spread of HIV/AIDS. He says the DHS can identify specifics of a problem to help governments develop their policies.
We didn't have an appreciation of how important delaying the onset of sexual behavior would be for HIV/AIDS. And that's one of the items in the Demographic Health Survey. And in countries such as Uganda, the age of sexual debut has been lengthened by almost 2 years. Most people feel, and I agree with them, that that's one of the major reasons why Uganda's HIV positivity rate prevalence has gone down.
The surveys are carried out by local health workers at 5 yearly intervals. They are overseen by USAID partner organizations such as the research company ORC Macro. Dr. Martin Vasson from ORC Macro recalls how the first survey in Niger, conducted in 1992, was received by the planning minister.
He says, "My God, I look at these data and we are the worst of all the countries since this survey program started. We're going to have to do something, you know, in order to improve the level of living of our women and children." And he really never had seen where they stood vis-a-vis other people. In the end, I think one of the things these surveys do is they show people where you stand. It's like a report card.
Such report cards in sub-Saharan Africa have increasingly tried to help clinics like this one in South Africa, which are struggling to help communities devastated by HIV/AIDS. Dr. Vasson says the surveys now calculate such things as how many orphans will be created by the pandemic and how many work hours will be lost. Officials estimate the agency has devoted 15% of its $8 billion budget since 1965 to the survey program. This year, USAID will spend around $10 million. That's a substantial portion to spend on information alone, but USAID's Dr. Gillespie compares it to the U.S. Census. He says host country governments, NGOs, and humanitarian organizations review this unique set of data before making their policies and decisions. Dr. Akinwunola Bankole of the Alan Guttmacher Institute of New York concurs. His group used the data to produce a report on the reproductive health of young people. Dr. Bankole says the report proved very helpful in his native Nigeria and elsewhere.
Programmers in different countries have told us that it has been very helpful for them in knowing how to understand the need of young people and how to provide for their need.
USAID officials say one of their main challenges now is accommodating the request to widen the scope of the surveys even further, to include statistics on issues like aging and domestic violence. Request Dr. Gillespie says they'll try to accommodate. He says the thirst for information is evidence that the gamble taken 30 years ago to spend significant resources on data collection has paid off.
I can't tell you how difficult it would have been to tell the story without the survey data, not just here, but in London, in New York, in Paris, etc. I mean, this is really something that has had a global impact. To be able to say that the mortality rate in these countries is not 10 times higher, but hundreds of times higher than they are in Europe. That's powerful. That gets people to start saying, well, we do need to do something.
For Common Ground, I'm Catherine Drew in Washington.